Good morning, Agape Chicago.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Every time I have the opportunity to stand before you and share the Word of God, I consider it a privilege. If there's anything more important to me, is there anything I cherish more in the world, is the Word of God. And I find it a privilege to be trusted in such a mystery. If you will please bow your head, pray with me. Heavenly Father God, we come before you this morning. We invite you to speak. You, O God, speak, so speak. We ask God that you give us an ear to listen and give a mind for us to understand and grasp what you have to tell us this morning. Soften our heart, Lord, to receive as you share with us this morning, so that we might put it into practice and live for you. Pray that you put every heart, Lord. Speak, Lord, humble our hearts. We thank you for your presence as we feel this morning to the songs, to reading scripture. As we pray, as we sing to you, we tell you what we want to our sins, to the music, but now it's time for you to speak, Lord, so help us to silence and listen to you. We love you, we give you praise, we glorify you, we lift up you up and high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you will open your Bible or on the screen again, I don't know, we read the passage. We just read Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 13. It said, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentile by birth and called uncircumcised by those called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. 2 weeks ago, you were observing from Greg that touched on that we were lost, we were dead in our sin and our trespasses. And then if there's anything that helped me hold on to the message at the end, is this crescendo when using the contrast, but God, who were dead, who were lost, but God intervened. And then a week later, we heard another sermon by Pastor Steve Johnson, where he preached on how we were saved, how God intervened, that by grace we were saved through faith, not of work, so that anyone may be boast. And one of the things that helped me hold to the message that he said, the only thing we contribute to our salvation is our filthy sin. And today Paul began a new section focusing on the unity. He started this particular section with the word therefore. Since he started with the word therefore, he asked us to look back. And I already touched on what Craig said and Steve says. And then he said, remember. Remember. It's a simple word, but here it's play a very major part. It play a big part to what Paul wanna get across. Remember. I moved to Rogers Park a little over a year ago. For months, mail still show up with my old address in it, with the same label, my old address, was in the envelope. But that label did not define where I live anymore. In Christ, our old labels may still follow us, but they no longer tell the truth about who we are. Paul trying to do the same thing with the Ephesians. He wanted to do the same thing with us right now. He started with the word remember. Remember that formerly you who were Gentile by birth, called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcised. Now, the NIV, the New English Standard Version, said by birth. I like the ESV, English Standard Version, better. If you have it, it said, in the flesh. You who are Gentile in the flesh, who so-called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcised in the flesh by human hands. But here in the NIV again, and the New English Standard Version doesn't really have in the flesh. Now you're saying, well, what's the point? Birth in the flesh, what does that mean? But why does Paul find a need to say in the flesh? You who are Gentiles in the flesh. Well, if you are human, you are Gentile, you are in the flesh. When I was in school, they told me, like, avoid repetition. If you do it, you get a big F, right? So here Paul using in the flesh, you who are Gentiles in the flesh, you who are circumcised in the flesh. And they know they're already circumcised in the flesh. Paul giving them one command to remember. And this particular command is remember. Remembering here has a purpose. It calls for humility, for gratitude, and for unity. You say you were circumcised, you were uncircumcised, so-called by the circumcision. You, the circumcision, so-called by the uncircumcision. Which is what Paul is doing. He's playing with word here. What he's telling both the Jews and the Gentile right now, he's saying, you're thinking about the flesh. You, the Jews, you think just because you are circumcised, that actually saved you. Or you calling the Gentiles uncircumcised because you think you are better than them. And he said, let me tell you something. You, the Jews, are in the flesh just as the Gentiles in the flesh. And now you are boasting. It is unnecessary boasting in your circumcision. There's something deeper at play. It's not so much about flesh. God is trying to do something in humanity. He's trying to do something with the Jews, both the Jews and the Gentiles. It doesn't matter if you are circumcised in the flesh. It doesn't matter if you are Gentile in the flesh. Because it's just the flesh. Listen to what Jeremiah had to say. Jeremiah 19, verse 25 to 26. It says, the days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the wilderness and distant place, for all these nations are really uncircumcised. And even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in the heart. So true circumcision is not in the flesh. Now, don't get me wrong, Paul is not downplaying circumcision here. In fact, Paul recognizes it. And even in the Old Testament, circumcision never meant salvation. Of course, it means you are part of God's people. We read this morning, God is the one who gives the covenant through circumcision. And over the years, throughout the Old Testament, God gave different covenants. Covenants come in different forms. But there's always one thing that drove the covenant, the promise. God's promise never changed. His covenant changes. From Adam and Eve, and then Noah, and then Abraham, and then Moses, and then David, he made different covenants. But what drove all of them is the promise. And God's promise never changes. When he called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, he said, Abraham, to you all the nations of the world will come to me. I will make you a great nation, and to you there will be many nations. And of course there were many nations in Abraham. And then he said, to you, all nations in the world will come to me. So was Gentile in God's plan? Of course. Were they all part of God's covenant people? Not yet. Paul said, you who were uncircumcised, you were outside of Israel, you were outside of God's people, but you were always in God's plan. And God's plan is to do a new circumcision, both in the Jews and the Gentiles. Now listen to what Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 has to say. It says, in him, speaking of Jesus Christ, you who were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by hands, your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Paul is saying human marks and labels can't make you belong. Only Christ's blood can bring you near. And in verses 12, now it says, we who are outside of the covenant promise, it used the word remember again. Now, remember, in verses 12 to, in verses 11 to 12 is actually one long verses. There's only one remember, but the NIV, again, the English Standard Version translates to remember. So in verses 11, in verses 12, it says, remember that at that time, you who were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigner to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God. Remember, you were uncircumcised. You were a stranger from the covenant promise. The covenant promise is that when God called Abraham in chapter, Genesis chapter 17 verses 1 to 14, he said, Abraham, circumcise everyone in your house, your children and those who are slaves among you. Part of it is that now they are loyal to God. They are God people. They are a people under a covenant now who under Abraham's faith, they were guided under Abraham's faith. But they all are saved, not because they were circumcised, but because they were looking forward to the Messiah, which is the promise. So if we ask how they were saved in the Old Testament, how was Abraham saved? He was looking to the Messiah. And now that's what Paul means when he said the promise. Singular, referring to Jesus Christ. Now he's telling the Gentiles, remember, you once were strangers. You were outside of God's covenant plan, promise. God chose Israel to carry his redemptive plan. To the covenant, he revealed his plan. And to all this covenant, it won a central message, the promise, the Messiah. So Paul reminding them, having covenant privileges never automatically save anyone. So you can be close to God and still not belong to God's people. You can be a pastor child and yet not really saved. You can grow up in church and yet be far away from God. Those are privileges, not salvation. Salvation is only to Christ, Jesus Christ, the promised. Paul called the Ephesians, they are people without God, without hope. Now it's interesting, the word without God is one word, atheos, which it sounds like atheist. Atheist is like a worldview today, but Paul is not necessarily saying they did not believe in a God, but they were without the God of Israel. They were without the God of the covenant. They have no relationship with the Creator, but they were deeply religious people. He said, remember, that's who you were. And in Deuteronomy, we learn about God's separate nations, the sons of God. And yet he kept Israel as his portion. So in other words, the circumcision, Paul is saying, like, it has a place. They were the first one who were trusted with the promise of God, the first one who were trusted with the covenant. They knew God. They knew what to expect. They had relationship with God. But you Gentiles were not. I want you to remember that. You were without God, and the implication is you were without hope. If you have no God, you have no hope. Hope here is really referring to the Messiah, and hope here also serving two purposes. The first purpose is really this hope is them expecting the Messiah to come. And the Gentiles didn't know that, so they have no that hope. But there's another side of hope. The other side is that they have questions about life that they can't find answer for because they have no hope. Questions such as, what happened when I die? About the loved one who died, what happened? Is that all there is to life? And believe me, you cannot find this answer in any religion but in Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one who met death, who died and raised from the dead, and who can tell you about what will be beyond death. So they don't have any hope because they don't have answer to this kind of question. And if you haven't lost anyone yet, if you have lost someone in your life, someone who is close enough, you thought about a question like this. I want to know how they're going to be. When I see them in heaven, what is it going to be like? Of course, we don't have all the answer, but we do have hope. In a big scheme, in a big picture that we all want to see. We don't know the details, but we have this hope. We have the hope of the Messiah, and we have hope that there is more to life. So he called the Gentiles, they are people without God, they are people without hope. You can be very spiritual and still be far from the living God. And you find a lot of nations, they have their own gods. But they don't know the God of Israel. They don't have hope. They lost. In Thessalonians 4:17, it said, brothers and sisters, Paul talking to the Thessalonians, he said, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. So Paul established that you, Ephesians, you Gentiles, you us who are not Jews, that's who we are. Now, Paul doesn't want us to live in the past. But a person who doesn't have a past, you cannot live the present meaningfully. You cannot make sense with the present, in the present, without knowledge of your past. Now, Paul doesn't want you to dwell in it. But he wants you to think about who you were before Christ. You were dead. You were without hope. You were without God. You were not part of God's family. And then in verse 13 it said, But now, or if I may bow to a cushion, but God, everything changes. But now in Christ everything changes. But now, those who were far or brought near. You who were circumcised or uncircumcised, now brought near by grace. Not by effort, not by labels, not by heritage. It is God who brought us near by grace. By God. We brought near by grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now to the blood of Christ, we are God people. Because of the blood of Christ, now we are citizens. We are part of the commonwealth. We are part of Israel. The promise that God promised Abraham from Genesis chapter 12 verses 1, to you I will bring all the nation to know me. Now it is accomplished to Jesus Christ. Now there is neither Jews nor Gentiles. We all are one people because of Jesus' blood, because the promise has come, because now we have the promise. So Paul's saying now, Gentiles in the flesh, Jews who circumcise in the flesh, it's not about in the flesh, it's about in Christ. It's not a matter whether you've circumcised or you're born as a Gentile. Is it because in Christ now you are part of the family of God? And that always has been the plan. In Genesis chapter 3:15, he promised Eve, to you, a seed will come and will destroy the serpent, crush the serpent's head. And to Abraham, he promised the seed. Now, Jesus is the promised seed who brings us to the family of God. That was always his plan, to create a family for himself. It was always a plan. So what does that really mean for us? First of all, Paul wants to encourage us that unity is found in the gospel, in the message of Jesus Christ. I don't know, maybe you have been labeled with certain quality. Maybe you are here, you qualify yourself with certain labels. Poor, rich, tall, old, leader, followers. But what's important is Paul saying that we all are one in Christ. So before you leave today, introduce yourself to someone. Someone you don't know, someone who is normally not on your usual circle. Connect, pray. Check on each other. Maybe write it on your agenda to check on someone this week. Today, one of the challenges we have in the gospel is living in unity. Church divide because they cannot be, they can't live together with one another. They can't have peace with one another. Paul is saying that we all are one. None of us have anything to bring in our salvation. We all has a story that always the only thing we have to contribute is sin. We only come to Christ because of what Jesus has done in our lives. Paul saying that Christ has to play the center. It is in Christ. Paul's favorite word, actually, throughout all his letters, in Christ. It is in Christ. Christ is the center. He's everything. You don't have anything to contribute. So today, I want you to think about it. I want you to imagine what your life was before Christ. A lot of times, it's important that you look back, you imagine, because sometimes if you don't remember the past, you can't relate with someone who actually that is behind in the position where you were. And it is Jesus, God, way also talking to his people throughout the Old Testament. He always speak to the Jews this way. He said, remember, you were slave in Egypt. So treat others in your place with kindness and dignity because you once were slave. All of us sitting here, we once were something. It may be different than mine. It may be different than Grant. It may be different with Lori. But we, each one of us here, we're at one place where we have only sin to offer. Jesus reached us. Jesus bring us near. Jesus draw us near. So Paul wants you to remember. Don't dwell on it. But remember where you were. First, to produce in you unity. Second, humility. What labels make you feel superior or makes you feel unsafe around brothers and sisters? Bring these labels to Jesus, the promised Messiah, because our truest identity is in Him. It's Him who defines who we are. Not our color, not our work, not our socioeconomic, not your position in the church, but what Christ says about you. So, remember who you were without Christ. Rejoice who you are in Christ and live like one family, united because of the blood of Christ. We live a united life by remembering our past apart from Christ and embracing our present in Christ. As you live today, remember that. Your past, your present in Christ. And let it draw us together. As Christ, the foundation, the mediator, the center of our life. Let us pray.